Call the meeting to order. We obviously don't have a quorum. I myself was in another committee room, so I can appreciate other people are confused. Okay, Representative Anderson, I understand, is presenting instead of Emmer.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't have anybody to move my bill, but...
I'll move it.
We don't have a quorum, sorry. You know, we will move all the bills, Representative, when we get a quorum. So.
I appreciate that. Well, House File 1687, it comes to as a request from the City of Buffalo as they're looking for a sales tax exemption. And I see in your laundry list of bills being presented today that most of them are the same thing as they go to improve their... wastewater treatment plant. They're looking for exemption of the sales tax on construction materials, and we're looking to get your approval from a tax basis, and on the back, the explanation of the bill shows that the cost estimation of the project is about $14.6 million, and the city administrator advises that only $700,000 of the approximately $7 million of materials and supplies would normally be taxable without this exemption. And so, Madam Chair, I guess I would stand for questions, but it's kind of self-explanatory as to what the City of Buffalo is asking for in building this wastewater treatment facility and expanding it. And, Madam Chair, I guess this is based on precedent to what has happened in past sessions where cities have come and asked for the same exemption as they expand their infrastructure for the benefit of the city of city residents in Buffalo. So thank you for the opportunity to share this request and with House File 1687.
All right. Thank you, Representative. Is there anyone from the public that would like to testify for or against? All right. We'll move on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members, those who are here.
All right, Representative Ward.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for the opportunity to talk about House File 1626. As Representative Anderson said, this is a request from the cities of Brainerd and Baxter for wastewater and water, and not only wastewater, but also water treatment facilities, construction materials, sales tax exemption. I have with me both city administrators who will give some brief testimony regarding that, Madam Chair.
All right. For the record, please state your name.
Madam Chair, Dan Vogt. I'm the city administrator in the city of Brainerd, Vogt, V-O-G-T, and I act as the city administrator position I've held for about 18 years in Brainerd. The two communities of Brainerd and Baxter have been cooperating on a number of projects over the years, and one of those includes our wastewater treatment plant. We appreciate the tourism and growth that we've seen in our area, and we appreciate a lot of the, I'm sure, members of the committee and both houses of the legislature coming to our area and spending their dollars and using our facilities, so to speak. With this growth, we have to expand our wastewater treatment plant, which opened up in about the 1980s. Since about 2004, we've been talking about how to expand the plant for our two communities. And we've pretty much come to the end of that discussion. We know what we need to do. Now we need to pay for it. About a year ago, I testified, and Dennis as well, from the city of Baxter before a similar committee, and we talked about the project cost. About a year ago, it was $22 million. Today, the plant is estimated at about $35 million. It's gone up an awful lot, as I'm sure a lot of projects have for the state and other communities. Two-thirds of the cost will be paid by Brainerd, one-third of the cost to be paid by the city of Baxter. We did receive approval a year ago after our testimony on a local option sales tax. Our voters voted that in by about 70% at the last election. So we're very appreciative to the legislature of giving us the ability to take that to the voters. Tied to the cost of the treatment plant includes the payment of sales tax on equipment and materials. Current estimates have the taxable items at about $16 million. The general sales tax of about 6.5% will have a $1 million of the entire project cost to be paid just for our treatment plant to be paid to the state through the sales tax. We would like to see the legislature, as you have done in the past and are considering during this session on a wide variety of projects, including several at the committee meeting today, to also allow the exemption of the sales tax to keep this already astronomical number from getting any higher. I know that some of you have a picture in your mind about Brainerd and all the lakes and expensive homes, but let me tell you about the city of Brainerd itself, just real briefly. The average family of four in Brainerd has an income of about $30,000. $30,000 in a family of four, and our average home value are in the low 100,000s. So we really can't afford to be tacking a lot of extra money onto our plant. We've already added about 20% on our sewer fee to our users, and they already are going to have a sales tax. So we don't feel there's any more room to add additional income onto that project. We respectfully ask that you pass 1626, and if not, this bill for our two cities, general legislation, which may cover this type of high-dollar essential infrastructure costs for all cities in the state. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd. Well, just as an aside, I'm a chemist by training, so I'm actually interested in wastewater and water treatment. So I was looking at it from that perspective more than where, you know, where this is located. So.
We appreciate that, Madam Chair and members. We are using an old technology that is being phased out, and we're using a new technology that, frankly, we hope will clean up the water much better than it was. We are going to meet the 1.0 MGL for phosphorus and whatever other requirements that the MPC.
Oh, that's
the
great.
The permit's out for comment right now, and we're hoping that we don't have challenges so that we can move this project forward.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I'm sorry.
For the record, I am Dennis Coriel, the city administrator in the city of Baxter. Coryell. Just a couple of additional comments, Madam Chair. When Dan spoke of the cost of the wastewater treatment plant, we think that the case is quite extraordinary since when we began to plan the plant and we got our early estimates as to the cost, it was $22.5 million. That number has risen to $35 million, more than a 50% increase, and it will go to $39 million if the EPA and or the MPCA require us to have a mercury filter. This is really quite an extraordinary burden on the people of Baxter. We have long raised our rates to cover the cost of additional plant capacity. We are in the top third, almost near the very top of rates in among cities in Minnesota. Part of that is that the population is 7,800, but we have such a daytime population, since it's an economic center, that we are providing water and sewer facilities for 60,000 to 80,000 people every day. We would ask you to consider waiving that. The total cost for Brainerd and Baxter to the state in lost sales tax would be just slightly over $1 million. In the past, I know that you probably already know this, that some cities in similar circumstances have been granted a waiver. Part of the reason that there are six other cities asking for the same kind of waiver for wastewater treatment plants is because the costs of these plants have doubled in the last 4 years or so, and the fees have doubled. To reflecting the cost, and there's more on the way. Now, you know, there's environmental concerns about what's in the finished wastewater when it's
right.
Put into the ground or into a river or a or a settling pond. So the bottom line is, for Baxter anyway, we have a water system that is interconnected with Brainerd. It's regional in nature for that reason. We have already built a new water plant that that treats the water much more efficiently, and we have paid for the plant. Now we need to be building a water tower to go with that. Our growth rate is 2.5% year after year, and we hope to save ourselves in the city of Baxter with the wastewater and the water plant $485,000.
Oh, thank you for that testimony. Representative Simpson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of comments. I'm glad, I think it was 2 years ago, Baxter came in looking for a sales tax exemption, and we gave them the indication that they should go back and talk to their neighbors to the east and work together. They went back, they did that, and they came back last year, I believe it was, and got the sales tax exemption for Brainerd Baxter. And I think that was a good thing. I'm glad they did it when they did, because as you heard this morning in the division, they're closing the door on sales tax provisions throughout the state. So you were ahead of your curve. I guess the one thing that I would say is that our question: how long was the sales tax provision for Brainerd Baxter? And it was for water sewer infrastructure only, correct?
That's correct. I think there were a couple of other minor projects in there which will no longer be able to afford because of the cost of the wastewater plant. 12 years.
It was a 12-year.
It was a 12-year sunset. We have been collecting the anticipated revenues, at least in Baxter, as far as I know. So.
And Madam Chair, as I understand this bill, part of this will be qualify for the exemption under the provisions that are in law now. It's just the buildings and stuff that do not qualify, correct?
That's correct. We identified for the Department of Revenue all of the things that are already rebatable or simply not taxed when you're building these utilities.
Well, Madam Chair, as we move forward today and hear more of these bills, I think the one thing you're going to find is the reoccurring sound that will be coming from all these communities is the cost of this is just going up in leaps and bounds. And I think our testifier has already made the statement from when they started this process 3 or 4 years ago where they are today. And by the time they're done with the process, it's going to be continually rising in cost. So I understand why they're here, and I think we will have to look seriously at this as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Is there anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against House File 1626? I want to thank Representative Wolfsager for starting the meeting for me. I appreciate that, and thank you, Representative Ward, and for being here. And I apologize, I missed the previous discussion, but I know Minnetonka had one of these. I think that was the first one we heard this year. We're going to hear a bunch of them here today. And I think for you, or understanding Representative Ward, is that I think it was last year or the year before, maybe Representative Simpson can help me. The state sort of got us into this, all of us in the legislature got us into this. The tax committee passed it for Chatfield, and that was the kickoff for all the cities to say, well, here's a shot. And so now we're all struggling with what we might do going forward. I think we're in a difficult spot. We don't want to pick and choose between cities, and yet we know if there's a price tag that goes along. So we appreciate you bringing this forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could just recommend, and thank you, Representative Simpson, for your comments, and maybe we should do it in alphabetical order. That's the only thing.
Nicely done. Thank you, Representative Ward. I will lay over House File 1626 for possible inclusion. We don't have a quorum yet. Okay, so we haven't moved it yet, but we will.
Thank you,
Representative Ward. Appreciate that very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Simpson.
Just a little more discussion while we're waiting for our next people to come up. I think one of the things that is... we heard early on, I believe we had a testimony in and we had a bill in to reduce or replace the sales tax on municipalities throughout the state. And I think as good tax policy, it would be one of the key things that we should try to do. And I think we've had discussion about that. And this would play right into where that would be. We would not be doing these on an annual basis or a pick and choose, a winner-loser type operation. So we continue to have our growth in our economy, I would like to see us continue looking at that sales tax provision.
Thank you for that, Representative Simpson. And I think that was Representative De La Forestville and...
I believe it was, yeah.
Someone else. Was it Representative Hillstrom or Liebling? I don't remember now. But we had a couple authors who brought that. That was, I think, our first week.
Right.
So, yes.
Right.
We still need to consider that for the honest tax bill. Again, thank you. And now we are at, is it Representative Nornes? House File 1766, Representative Nornes. And he has an exemption for Pelican Rapids. No big picture with you today?
No,
we don't.
That's some utility issues, too.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I trust you'll move the bill at some point, too.
We shall, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for including us on your agenda today. This bill is for the community of Pelican Rapids, who, like others, is looking at need to expand and improve their wastewater treatment facility, primarily to remove phosphorus. If it wasn't for that, we probably wouldn't be even doing the project, but that's the goal, that's the requirement. And so they're looking at about a $4.4 million project. Here with me today is Brent Frazier, who is, I'm not sure of the title, but he is an employee of the city in the what, utility department? Foreman, chairman? He's the head of that department. And he's here to testify on behalf of this bill.
Welcome, Mr. Frazier.
Okay, thank
whatever
you.
Your title is, we're glad you're here.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank Representative Nornes for offering this House File 1766, and also thank the House Tax Committee for letting me testify here today. I'm Brent Frazier. I've been employed by the City of Pelican Rapids for a little over 30 years. Presently, I was 9 years as Superintendent of Public Works, and currently, the last 12 years, I've been Utility Superintendent doing water and wastewater fields. Pelican Rapids has a population of just under 2,500 people. We're all located in Ottertail County on Highway 59, 22 miles north of Fergus Falls, 22 miles south of Detroit Lakes, and also 10 miles to the west of beautiful Maplewood State Park. Our current wastewater facility was built in 1988. We've had a couple upgrades since. Our facility consists of a lagoon system and also a mechanical plant. Our lagoon system receives the wastewater from West Central Turkeys, which is owned by Genio. And our mechanical plant receives the wastewater from our residential commercial customers. And also we recirculate some water from the lagoon through our mechanical plant. Our mechanical plant consists of grit removal, primary, secondary clarifiers, trickling filter, RBC, and return activated sludge system, and we're a Class A facility. West Central Turkeys, or Genio, is our largest water consumer in Pelican Rapids, and therefore they produce the largest amount of wastewater. They employ 700 plus people in our community, and they're also expecting expansion coming up this summer of 2007, where they'll employ 75 more people, and their water consumption will go up approximately 25 to 30% more. Our wastewater expansion, as Representative Norner stated, is approximately $4.4 million and is due to phosphorus reduction mandates from Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. We will plan on starting construction late summer, early fall of this year, and the construction has to be completed and online by May 1st of 2008. This will consist of a chemical addition. We're going to add alum at the lagoon and also our wastewater plant. There will be aeration at our plant at the lagoon. There will be a secondary clarifier built. We're replacing a boiler which heats to treat the biosolids. And we'll also be erecting a 2 million gallon biosolid storage tank. Facilities plan has been authored by Interstate Engineering out of Fergus Falls. It has been sent to Minnesota Pollution Control Agency for their approval. We have not heard back at this time. The City Council of Pelican Rapids passed a resolution on March 12th in support of House File 1766 and also Senate File 1744. And he should have received a letter at this time from our mayor, Mayor Wayne Runnigan, addressing this situation and also a copy of the resolution. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you here this afternoon.
Madam Chair, I think members probably would have a copy of the fiscal note.
Yes, we do.
And that shows a cost of $50,000 to the state.
Yes, thank you, and it should be in members' packets. And members, if I may, Representative Nornes, if members look at the City of Pelican Rapids resolution that's attached with the letter from the mayor, I'm sure every city who's here probably has passed one of these or could produce one of these, and it is important, I think, for members to actually take a look at that. You know, we really are the people who are requiring them to do this. They're citing that this is the MPCA, that it's due to the Clean Water Legacy Phosphorus Reduction, and that it's an unfunded mandate, and they're absolutely right, as are all the cities. So we've got these cities in a tough spot because we do tax them, the sales tax, yet we require them to do these things. So we appreciate the problem. I hope you can appreciate our problem is finding the money mm-hmm. to undo this bad tax policy, and we appreciate your testimony. Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with your comments that you made. This is a mandate that is being put on our communities. I think it'd be kind of interesting if we could get Mr. Fraser just to speak a little bit about the Genio plant and the employees that are there, the number of foreign languages that are spoken in the city of Pelican Rapids. I think people would be quite amazed at what they do there and what their school is doing for immigrants throughout the area that's coming in. If you'd have just 2 minutes, the committee wouldn't mind.
Mr. Fraser.
Okay, thank you. Yes, West Central Turkeys, or Genio, a subsidiary of Hormel Foods, like I said, they employ over 700 people, and they're going to increase that workage by 75 more jobs this summer. And a lot of these people have moved into our community from foreign countries and have found a job there at West Central Turkeys. And Representative Simpson mentioned that, you know, it can be a situation for the schools, too, because some of these students do not speak English as their first language, and it is difficult. This expansion that West Central Turkeys is going to have this summer will be due for further processing. Again, prior to 2004, they were what we call a slaughter or kill plant, where they actually slaughtered the birds there at the processing plant. Then in December of 2003, that operation ceased, and they went to total further processing, where the birds are shipped in, cooled or frozen, and they cut and package the turkey products and ship them out to various vendors throughout the nation. And I'd like to thank you for this opportunity, again, to address that situation. Like I said, West Central Turkeys is, I believe, the largest employer in Otter Tail County at this point. And they do a great job there at their meat processing plant.
And I think the question had to do with the number of languages, too, and I'm not sure if you have a number, but it's...
I know up to about... I also work with the water department. We have to produce a consumer confidence report to Minnesota Department of Health, and we have to have this posted. We post this at West Central Turkeys, and I know up 4 or 5 years ago there was either 14 or 17 languages spoken by the employees at that processing plant.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Are there other questions for Representative Nornes? Anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against House Bill 1766? If not, thank you. I don't know if we have a quorum yet, but we will move it when we do.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll see you again tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Representative Morgan, House Bill 2244. And this is the City of Burnsville. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Representative Will Morgan, I represent Burnsville and Savage, and I'm here today on behalf of the cities I represent for House File 2244. It is a sales tax exemption for the construction of a surface water treatment plant. It's going to be constructed, I believe, in Burnsville, but it's going to provide water for the cities in the surrounding area. I have with me today City Administrator from the City of Savage, Barry Stock, and he's going to explain why the sales tax exemption is important to the communities involved. So with that, Mr. Stock.
Thank
you.
Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, again, I'm Barry Stock, City Administrator of Savage. I've been with the City of Savage for about 10 years. Prior to that, I was with the City of Shakopee for about 10 years, so I'm very familiar with the issues in the South Metro area and the Minnesota Valley there. Well, in the land of 10,000 lakes, it's not uncommon that most of us might presume that we're blessed with an abundant water supply. Well, today that belief would generally be supported for most communities in the state. The cities of Savage and Burnsville have been struggling for a decade to identify an environmentally responsible solution to our water supply needs. So, what makes Savage and Burnsville so special, you're wondering? Well, within Savage alone, we have three very unique natural resources, including, watch now, Boiling Springs, number one, which is the headwaters for Eagle Creek Trout Stream, which is one of the only naturally reproducing trout streams in the state, and the Savage Fen.
Right.
Burnsville is also home to the Black Dog Fen. Fens, if you don't know, are the rarest type of wetlands in the Midwest. The Fen in Savage is also a little bit even more special because it's a calcareous fen. I'm not going to go into the details of what is comprises a calcareous fen, but it does produce a very unique water supply, which produces a wide variety of unique plants, and it's even a higher protection level than a normal fen. Each of these natural resources is spread from a high water table, an upswelling of the water, not normal rain that feeds most plants, upswelling of water. So the water table that feeds the fen is the Prairie du Chien and the Jordan aquifers. These are typically the two aquifers that are relied upon by most of the cities in the metropolitan area to get their water supply. To protect these natural resources, the DNR has strongly encouraged, then I'll say strongly encouraged, the cities of Savage and Burnsville to identify alternative aquifers, such as the Franconian Aquifer, which is below the Jordan Aquifer, and Savage has somewhat been a test case because of these unique environmental resources. We've had to put wells in the Franconian Aquifer when most cities don't have to. They can go into the Jordan Aquifer. Well, why is that a big deal? Because the Franconian Aquifer only produces half as much water supply as the Jordan. So every one well that some other city might have to drill, we get to drill two wells. Guess what? As we drill these wells, they aren't as reliable as the other wells. Not any cheaper, by the way, either, so we're paying double the price. Well, in our experiments, we found that the Franconian isn't really working for us, so we've had to go into another aquifer, the Mount Simon Aquifer. If you know about the aquifers in this region, the Mount Simon Aquifer is the one that's protected by the state that we want to preserve for future generations. Well, we don't have any other options, so we have had some success in getting a couple wells into the Mount Simon Aquifer. Sounds like a good thing, right? Well, Mount Simon Aquifer is 1,000 feet down. So, again, the cost to go into one Mount Simon Aquifer is double the price of going into a Jordan Aquifer. Well, in 2005, we approached the legislature, actually, the City of Savage, why I'm here today when this is a plant that's in Burnsville, is actually the City of Savage has a bigger water supply problem than Burnsville, although they have some of the same unique conditions. We approached Burnsville to see if there would be a way we could partner together and identify a solution for our water supply needs. Well, in talking with Burnsville, it was discovered that the Kramer Quarry, which is in Burnsville, is currently pumping 10 million gallons of water per day into the river. Well, they're doing that so that they can mine below the water table. And, of course, aggregates is also a natural resource that the metropolitan area needs to continue to be a strong economic, you know, development area. Well, we happen to put together a partnership idea with both Savage, Burnsville, and Kramer Quarry to build a surface water treatment plant. And if you're interested in chemistry and surface water treatment plants, then we got a project for you. This project is very unique because now the surface water treatment plant is going to move water from Burnsville, and Burnsville residents could use it, but it has to mix with our water, which has a different treatment method. But anyway, back to the story. We came to the legislature and asked for them to be, for you all to be a partner in the project. And we asked for $6 million. The idea was that each of our partners, the City of Savage, the City of Burnsville, and Kramer Quarry, would each pay $2 million, and the state would pay the additional $6 million. Why? To protect these natural resources that have a broader impact and benefit beyond just the cities of Savage and the cities of Burnsville. Well, the legislature did agree at that time to contribute $3 million to the project. Well, we went back, did some further analyzing of the project, and did our due diligence, and we discovered that, well, we're still $3 million short. And if we would have proceeded at that time with the construction of the project, the city administrator would have been fired, and the mayor and council probably would have been removed from office because our water rates would have probably had to triple. That would have been a bad thing. So we came back in 2006 and asked the legislature once again, would you consider coming up to the $6 million that we had originally asked for? We're $3 million short. The legislature at that time did agree to contribute another $2.5 million. So we were very close to the $12 million. Well, what's happened in the last 2 years? It's no surprise. You've heard it earlier. Inflation costs. Now the cost of the project has gone from $12 million to somewhere between $13 and $14 million when it was originally envisioned. So why are we here? That's why we're here. We need some help, and hopefully to continue the partnership that we've developed in getting this plan built so that we can protect these natural resources. And one way that we feel we can help bridge that gap is to have some relief on the sales tax of the project. That's simply our request, very similar to the others you've seen, but ours is somewhat unique in that we've got a public-private partnership in place, and we are protecting some very important natural resources that we feel go beyond the benefits of the metropolitan area and have statewide significance.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry I didn't get your name. By the way, I almost fell into the pool at the Savage Fin when I was out there.
Boiling springs.
Exactly. My understanding was that, and I don't know exactly how you said they're putting in some money, but they'll be part of this, the Kramer Quarry, and my understanding is it's not too many years from them being done there, and that they are going to develop that into a natural man-made, or not a natural, a man-made lake with big plans for development around there, and I'm wondering how much they're going to benefit from this project. It sounds like if they can be helped by this project a lot towards the cost of their development, they stand to make huge amounts of money on that development, I believe. So I'm just wondering, should they be maybe putting in some more over the long run or something like that?
That's a good question. And in the attachment that I did hand out, the partnership funding has increased from where we originally started. As I mentioned, initially it was $2 million from each of the participating agencies. We have commitment from Edmund Kramer Quarry and Sons to increase their contribution from the $2 million to $3 million. And the City of Burnsville is also increasing their contribution from $2 million to $2.5 million to cover the new projected cost, which is at $13 million. So we have got them to throw in another million.
Representative Moore?
Just, I'm not quite sure if that's enough, but that's at least it's an answer to the question.
I see your point on that, Representative Mueller. That's a good point.
There's big money coming for them, and if they're benefiting, maybe we shouldn't be doing too much.
Well,
or maybe even the cities are over.
Representative Morgan has a TIF bill there, too, and there's always room for language for developers to chip in. So that's something to think about. But I do, aside from what might happen there, I have followed this Fin issue actually for a long time because I come from a long line of fly fishermen, and that for those who don't understand the rarity of a Fin, it is something very seriously worth preserving, and you've got a tough situation there, and I know Representative Morgan has heard me talk about Black Dog Lake. The pollution counts coming out of that water are unacceptable, and something needs to get done there. And I don't know how these all come together with the proposed development and the TIF bill and this issue on the sales tax to help get the money through to get the water. I mean, there's a lot going on there, and you know, I don't have any answers, but I understand it's a problem, and I hope committee members can understand this is a very unique site. Representative Morgan.
I was just going to point that out. Thank you, Madam Chair. There are some very unique issues for the city, particularly for the city of Savage, but also for the city of Burnsville on this issue. We feel that the Kramer Quarry has stepped up to the plate, and they do have some serious skin in the game. They do have something to gain from this, certainly. They are a private business, but we feel that they're willing partners in the game, and they're doing what they can to help the citizens of Burnsville and Savage try to preserve these natural resources that are very precious in our communities.
Other questions? You know, you might want to get Trout Unlimited to weigh in on this. Well, they sometimes mount some pretty good efforts, and they get a lot of legislators' attention sometimes when Trout Unlimited weighs in, because people forget that there are trout streams in the metropolitan area, and they are worth preserving. Other questions? Do we have a quorum yet? Still no quorum. Well, anyone from the public who would like to testify either for or against? If not, I thank you, Representative Morgan and Mr. Stock, for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. And we have now Representative Erickson with House File 1942. Maybe Representative Erickson, you might be the one who actually gets the quorum here. Okay. So if you do, we're going to move all kinds of bills when that happens.
The duck will drop down.
Welcome, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, very much. And I'm sure when the time comes, you will move this bill.
We have a quorum. So Representative Lanning, who has brought us the gift of the quorum, moves House File 1942.
Madam Chair, does this mean that Representative Erickson still automatically goes in under this back bill? It goes
Well, Madam Chair and committee, I think 1942 should go in the tax bill because that's the year I was born.
Oh.
So what an irony that I would have a bill with the year in which I was born. This is 1942 is similar to other bills that you're hearing today or bills that you have heard. This is the sales tax exemption for a water treatment plant in Malacca, Minnesota. Malacca is a growing community in east central Minnesota that very interestingly has a wastewater plant that is regional. When that new wastewater plant was built 12 to 15 years ago, maybe about a dozen years ago actually, they encouraged small communities that surround Malacca, such as Bach, to become a part of their system. And I don't know if the water treatment plant could become that, but this is a growing community, and Greg LaRue, the city manager, would be here today, but he had a vital conflict, and I told him I thought I could cover this for him. The cost of the water treatment plant is, the total cost of the project is $3.1 million, and the cost of the water treatment plant is $2.564 million. With that, Madam Chair, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. Are there questions for Representative Erickson? Is there anybody who would like to testify for or against House File 1942? If not, boy, nicely done. That's about 45 seconds.
And thank you, remember, 1942, everyone. Thank
and
you.
I will lay over House
so
File.
So you know I'm now 65.
And I will lay over House File 1942 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. At this time, I will accept Representative Demmer's motion to move House File 1687, and I'll lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Thank you.
I will also accept Representative Tilbury's motion to move House File 1626, and I will lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Stinson moves House File 1766, and I will lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. The chair will move House File 2244 and lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Lanning did do Representative Erickson, so now we're to Representative Junkie and Representative Mullery moves House File 1215. Welcome, Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a really bad cold, and I want to be here even shorter than Erickson. So, 1215, like you've heard, is a wastewater treatment asking for tax forgiveness. Fiscal note, as you see, is about $2.1 million over a three-year period of time. This is an $80 million project in Wilmer, Minnesota, a city of 18,000. So every single dollar we can save on this, obviously, as we build this new and large plant and plan for our future with clean water, certainly would be appreciated, and hopefully you'll give it your strong consideration.
Thank you, Representative Junkie. Other questions for Representative Junkie? Is there someone from the public either for or against House File 1215? If not, Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Junkie, is this to comply with new standards, or is it capacity, or what's Wilmer doing?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Demmer, it's just time for the new plant. We're at capacity. It's an old plant. It's more just as costly to retrofit as it's a move, and we're actually moving it outside of town. The old plant, the town has grown up around it. It's inside of town, and so this will be a mile or two west of the city of Wilmer.
Thank you, Representative Simpson.
No.
Other questions? If not, thank you, Representative Junkie. I'll lay over House File 1215.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sorry you have a cold.
Thank you
for making it. Let's see. Representative Simpson moves House File 1960. Is Representative Eastland here? If not, I'm going to take that motion off, and we're going to instead go to Representative Simpson. And we see Representative Eastland. We'll get him in.
Okay.
Representative Simpson has two bills. House File 2092, or how would you like to take them, Representative
Doesn't
Simpson?
Doesn't matter. Whatever. I have a... somewhere I have a testifier that that was going to be here for the first bill, and I think he's out having lunch because I thought it'd be probably an hour before we got to it. But the committee is so efficient,
yes,
just amazing. Why don't I take
New York Mills?
No, the other one first.
Okay, so we're going to do House File 2103, and this is, you know, Representative Simpson is actually doing the good policy here. I think trying to address the whole state situation. Representative Mullery.
Madam Chair, I just wondered why Representative Simpson was amazed that the committee is so efficient.
Well, Representative Mullery, the speed and accuracy of the way we're moving here sometimes amazes me, but we're doing well. We're doing well. Members, House File 2103, it would have been a good one to kind of finish up with after we heard everybody's today. And basically what I'm doing here is trying to eliminate the onslaught of one community after another coming in. And that's what 2103 does. As you can see, this is a statewide issue. Communities are throughout the state. We have a study that was done up in western Minnesota by West Central Initiative Foundation up there, and it showed that a very, very high percentage of wastewater treatment plants throughout that district were all failing. Most of these plants are plants that were put in right after the Second World War. A lot of them were WPA projects even before the war. So there are just a lot of old facilities and old structures in place. The cost of replacement is tremendous, as you can tell. You know, from the testimony from the other committee members as they continue moving forward. In years past, I was talking to Representative Demmer, in years past the federal government played an important part of these financing for these facilities. But as times have changed and the shifting has went away from that, the federal government just doesn't put dollars into local projects as they did years ago. So it's putting it more onto the backs of the local communities, and this bill would take care of the project on a statewide basis. With that, I have one testifier.
Thank you, Representative Simpson. Welcome, Ms. Orford.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jennifer O'Rourke. I'm with the Statewide Association, the League of Minnesota Cities. And as you might guess, we're in support of Representative Simpson's bill that is before you. The League, of course, has a general position on all sales tax exemptions, but this obviously would be a piece of that. Actually, in my notes I have it would be a limited part of that, but still more than a drop in the bucket. I'm told by my coworkers who worked on clean water, the clean water mandate in the legacy bill, that over the next 5 years, the projected need for city infrastructure on wastewater type projects is $1.9 billion, and the 10-year number for that looks more like $3.2 billion. So as you can tell, that's a big cost to cities at the local level on wastewater and water infrastructure improvements because of the, I believe it's the federal mandate on the wastewater cleanup. Thanks, Representative Simpson, for bringing this forward, and stand for any questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Other questions for Ms. O'Rourke or Representative Simpson? Representative Wolschlager?
Chair members, as I said earlier, I'm just absolutely fascinated by wastewater and water, which I feel kind of silly actually being for all this stuff. But actually, Manchester, England is the first, credits itself with the first industrialized city in the world, and the average age at time of death was 17 and a half years old. That's before they put in their wastewater treatment because they mix their waste and water together. So, you know, that's the other side of all this. If we don't pay attention to this, I mean, we certainly have in our world history examples of how it impacts and affects human beings. So, I mean, this is really important to me. But I guess the question I have is to Representative Simpson. I mean, the University of Minnesota right now has some work right now to put in filters, for example, to filter atrazine. And so, you know, you can just see, I'm using that as one example, you can go down the path of science, technology. We live in a modern world. You know, there was a day when you could detect parts per million. Today you can detect parts per billion and in some cases trillion. So, I mean, I see this area as almost a ever-expanding area. So, do you have any thoughts on that as far as, you know, at what point are we going to get our arms around this?
Simpson.
Well, thank you. That's a very interesting comment, and you can sit here and discuss where we are today, where we've been, and where we're going forever. As technology changes, I think we will change with it, and I think we'll continue to look at different ways of using our water systems, our sewer systems. But as we as a society continue to try to make changes and correct the mistakes we've made over the past, we're going to have to spend a lot of dollars to do that. And I think the pollution control has taken a very active part with the phosphorus limits, the levels that they're requiring. And as we move forward, I'm hoping that science can continue to do this. I'd like to see us get to a point where we don't have to put in these huge systems for all these communities. The next bill that I have up is for a community of 1,200 people. It's over $4 million. And if we go out throughout the state, I think you can get the people to testify throughout the state. There are many towns of less than 100 people that are putting in $2 and $3 million facilities to handle their sewage and water needs. So absolutely, I think we need to continue to work on technology, work on change, and try to bring this to a different level, because we cannot stay status quo, and we cannot continue doing things the way we have in the past. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and more of a comment. First of all, to Representative Wolschlager, if people only live to 17 years of age, we need this, or we wouldn't even have anyone old enough to vote in this state. So we need to get us elected. But, Madam Chair, I really appreciate these sheets that we've been getting, like when we did the credits and that, where we can, who's ever putting these are excellent, because you're able to look at all these bills and do that. So I do appreciate that. As I look through this one today, I see on the bill that Representative Simpson has, there wasn't one, and I suppose you wouldn't know for sure, but I just added up the requests that are on here, and it's about $1.8 million. So maybe you could assume roughly an annual cost of, you know, $2 million or something. And it is, I think, the way this is just a huge issue. And as Representative Simpson, some of these cities that don't have 100, 200 people are having to build these multi-million wastewater areas, and they have to do it, but they also need to help. And I know there's some other funding sources out there and so forth, but it'd be nice somewhere to put in a budget and really just to do it automatic for the entire state. Just this is the way to go, and maybe I don't know what the cost would be, maybe $2 million a year, but would be kind of the way to go. So.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. And it's Ms. Schill right there who has been doing these for us.
Well.
She's doing a fabulous job, and we're, as you all know, we're getting them on many buckets of issues, and we really do appreciate it. Representative Wolfslager. Yes.
Representative Marquardt, the average age of the worker was 14. And
not much retirement.
Manchester is right on the bay, and of course they were taking shiploads of poor young Irish immigrants over to England because they were losing workers so fast. So that was the plight of our first industrial stab at this.
Madam Chair, to Representative Marquardt's comments, the one thing that we do have is, and as legislators, I think we all have the opportunity on an annual or semi-annual basis to look at putting more funds in the wastewater treatment funds, the WIF funds, as they're called in the bonding bill. And as a rural legislator, I think we certainly pay attention to that and encourage more dollars to be put in that every time we can. So, because it is a statewide issue.
Who knows, Representative Simpson, is it you can tell us, who knows the acronym WIF, what that stands for? Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Does anybody know? There you go. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
If there is nothing else for Representative Simpson on this one, I'll lay over House File 2103 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And Representative Simpson, can we just do your New York Mills 1-2 while you're there? And then we'll do Representative Eastland after that. And Representative Simpson moves House File 2092.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This is for my actually my hometown of New York Mills. As I indicated, it's a population of about 1,200 people. It has a long history of getting this project off the ground. They had a lot of challenges. They started out back in the late 90s looking at the situation and trying to figure out a way to put this proposal together. I think just a little bit of history will say that when they first looked at doing this, they had a cost of about $2,100,000. And right now they're looking at putting this together at a cost of about $3,773,000. So over a period of about 6 or 7 years, you can see what's happened to the cost of this project. And this project is no different than what we heard testified by other people. It's just I think the Brainerd Baxter people talked about how the cost of their operation has gone up so much over just this period of time. New York Mills is very fortunate. They received some deed grants. They got $600,000 from deed, and they also qualified for some WIF funds. So that's been very helpful to them to do that. As I mentioned earlier about the Brainerd-Baxter area, I think the New York Mills area has an annual income of about $23,000. They have adjustable tax rate. The one thing I want to just talk about, one thing that communities are doing when they do these projects too, the people living in all these small towns or any of these towns are finding that their water and sewer rates are going up considerably. It isn't that they're not paying their share. They're also paying the tax levy on it, but then they're also paying a lot higher in sewer rates and water rates. An average family of four for just water usage in this community has went from $21 a month to $44 a month, and their sewer rates have went from about $40 a month to about $75 a month. So you can see that they are paying on the local level just not only through the tax base but also through the usage base. So it's just a costly endeavor on a statewide average, and asking for the sales tax exemption comes to about $120,000-$130,000, and in a community that size, that will buy patrol cars for them for the next 15 years, because they buy one and they use it for 4 to 5 years. So as you can see, it does have a sizable effect on a community that size when you talk $120,000. So. With that, I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Simpson. Are there questions on House File 2082? Is there anyone who would like to 092? Sorry, is there anyone who would like to testify for or against House File 2092? Representative Simpson, that's compelling testimony on the size of the budget when you put it in the frame of reference of the spending and other things. That's
And, Madam Chair, it was nice to see the nice colored brochure handed out by one of our communities, but when you have a community that has a staff of about four people, we don't do color brochures. We just talk the best we can. So.
Representative Simpson, they've got you, though. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If there are no other questions, I'm going to lay over House File 2092 for a possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. We still have Representative Eastland. And at this time, though, I will accept the motion by Representative Coonan to approve the minutes of March 26th. And March 27th, is that right, Representative Coonan?
Madam Chair, there is one of these, and I don't remember which one, that excludes...
You read them.
That excludes my name.
That's exactly why we needed him to make that change. And Representative Coonan amends the minutes of March 27th to make sure that his name is in the list of members present. Interestingly, Representative Coonan, you're neither present nor absent. So
that's right.
That was a good trick. So we're going to add Representative Coonan there on the minutes of March 27th. And Representative Coonan, if there's no other discussion, moves the minutes of March 27th as amended. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And Representative Coonan now moves the minutes of March 26th. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are adopted. And finally, Representative Paulson moves House File 1960. Welcome, Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Paulson. House File 1960 is a similar request for the City of Harris, and I think, as you just heard from Representative Simpson, some of the problems that occur when very, very small communities are hit with the huge expenses of having to fix and build new infrastructure make it almost insurmountable. And really, I have the City of Harris in my district. They're a population of about 1,200, about the same size. And I have the mayor here with me today, Mayor Rick Smithson. And he'd like to just express some of the issues that have come up and why this would be extremely helpful for the city to be able to not have to pay sales tax on some of the things they're purchasing.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Eastland, or Representative Eastland. The city of Harris is a little bit unique in that we do have 1,250 people in our community, but we only have 126 users on our system. We only have about 300 people or 126 hookups, about 100 of those are residential, about 20 of them are commercial. All of the commercial is very small commercial. And a little bit about the makeup of our community. Of those 300 people that are on the system, or 126 users, 70% of those people are below the poverty level. And 30% of those are considered very poor. There is a little bit more money in the outside outlying areas of the community, but those people are all on wells and septics. So what we need to do is we need to grow the core of the community, but we've had a hard time doing that because the MPCA condemned our system a few years back because we're leaking 25% of our sewage into the groundwater on a daily basis. So because of that, we are not allowed any additional hookups, so we can't grow to pay for anything, but at the same time, we have to solve the problem. Meanwhile, we've been held up by the Supreme Court decision, which I think all of us are dealing with regarding the phosphorus levels. So we've been forced to put in the more expensive system in order to deal with that. Additionally, at the same time, they tested our drinking water and found that our drinking water was above the legal limits for radium, and so we've been ordered to replace to build a water treatment plant. So what we're dealing with is a community of 300 people on a system. We've significantly increased our water usage rates. We've also increased our whack and stack fees up to $11,000, which is very substantial, and we're now grappling with how do we actually begin to attract businesses and developers into the community to pay for this once we do get the systems online. So we are really backed into a corner because we've been directed that we had to deal with all of these problems, but we really don't have the resources to do it. The system that we currently have is a pond system, and that is the one that is leaking the 25% in groundwater. So we've been forced into a mechanical system that would remove the phosphorus.
Is it Mayor Smithson? Is that right?
Correct. Smithson.
Yes, Mayor Smithson, if I may, I just want to ask our committee expert here about radium. Since you seem to know a lot about all this, Representative Wolschlager, I'm curious. This sounds like not a good situation, maybe even worse than the others we've already heard. Do you have a comment on this, Representative Wolschlager?
Well, Chair, I would say this is the most serious of what we've heard. Radium, though, is that naturally occurring in your area?
Yes, it is naturally occurring in our aquifer, and we do not have any treatment at this point to remove it. We do have a system that is being built right now and will be online later this summer, but what we're looking for, obviously, is this assistance to help pay for that.
Yeah. I mean, this is a tax committee, so I'm not going to go into chemistry, but just the fact that you have a leaking wastewater treatment system, I mean, that's pretty serious.
Right. At a rate of 25% per day.
Wow. Doesn't sound pleasant.
To the point where we have to become concerned about the water as well because of that, right, if we don't deal with these problems quickly.
Representative Simpson.
Madam Chair, this being a learning experience for the committee and not part of our normal topic, I imagine you want to know what a whack and sack fee is too, right?
I think I know that one.
Okay.
Well, the W is water and the S is sewer, but I don't know the rest.
That's close enough, Madam Chair, because it's a water sewer fee for hooking up to the system, so that's good. To that point and to the point that this has been made here, this again goes back to what I had stated earlier, is that no matter what size of the community, this is really a cost factor. You talk about 300 people with a cost of $5.3 million. This is huge. And the communities are really struggling with it. We do have issues in our wastewater, and we do have issues throughout the state. But I think that if we can find ways to look at helping bring these costs down, we'd like to do the full sales tax redemption on the cities, but maybe we can't do that. Maybe this is one way of helping. So just to that point.
Thank you for that. Other reps, I'm Carlson.
They're not related to the request that was related to the mayor's comments, but I was curious. You indicated that 70% of the residents live in poverty, and a huge percentage of those in extreme poverty. And I'm just curious what factors are there.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Yes,
no, that is correct. 70% is not 70% of the entire community. It's 70% of the core of the community, which is on the system. So there is a little bit more money in the outerlying areas of the community, but the core of the community that uses our water and sewer system is only that core, 70% of them. In a survey that was just done, as we were applying for grants, we had to do door-to-door surveys. And so those surveys, during that process, we found that 70% were below the poverty level.
One of the reasons I raised that question years and years ago, it's probably 20 years ago, I was quite involved with the chair of the committee that got the Cambridge Community College Center started. And one of the reasons that we did it, and that's why I asked the question, was that region of the state had the lowest higher education participation rate in the state. And that's why I picked up when you talked about the poverty. It's often as high, obviously, between educational attainment and income and so on. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Yarrow.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we had our sanitary district built about, with the groundbreaking ceremony was in 72, I remember, so 30-some years ago. And we got 70% of the money from the federal government, 20 from the state, and only 10 from the local. How much is federal government giving to such projects now? Does anybody know?
Mayor Smithson.
Our number is zero. We have not received anything from the federal government, and we have received $500,000 in a Department of Health grant for our water treatment plant. And to this point, up to this point, we've received nothing on our sewer system. In fact, yesterday we did qualify for a $166,000 grant to cover our phosphorus reduction equipment. And yesterday in the Senate Tax Committee, we found that we will not be funded because
of other communities. Other communities have been placed ahead of us on that list, and so we were placed as number 7, and there was only enough money to cover the first 3. So even though we qualified for it and spent a lot of money to go after those dollars, again, we came up short.
Thank you for that.
I'm sure that I really like the food at Stuga Cafe, but the water doesn't really taste.
We have heard that most of the people in our community have to go and buy bottled water even to do their laundry because of the condition of the water.
Representative Easton, you've got some compelling testimony going on here. This is the tax committee. I think we're all kind of amazed to hear this.
I'd invite the whole community to come up to the Coffee Stuga in Harris. It's a nice little pit stop, good little Swedish tradition. Got great food. And I'm sure they cook the water or it's bottled. I would just like to communicate to the community that the job that Mayor Smithson has done, because this has been a very difficult situation in a community where the sewer system only serves the oldest part of the city that is growing considerably in the broader. So there's new housing on well and water, and so to pass a improvement that's going to be levied over the whole city was quite a challenge. He's moved that issue ahead, and the plans are in the future that all new development will go on the city sewer and water system once it's in place. So I think they're doing the right things, but there's just a huge hurdle to get them over this, and this is one thing that would help them. And I would say that he's done a great job to this point, bringing the community together to get it where it is. So anything we could do to help would be much, much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Other questions? Is there anyone who would like to testify either for or against House Bill 1960? If not, I'll lay over House Bill 1960, and thank you, committee members. So we are adjourned. Thank you. Oh, Representative Lanning, I apologize.
Yeah, if I might just have a final comment.
Sure.
Madam Chair, thank you. As a matter of tax policy, I certainly believe that we ought to exempt sales tax for these facilities. But I think there's some bigger state issues here that we need to be aware of and address. The problem of replacing water and wastewater facilities is huge around the state. And I don't know if you took a look at this handout from Baxter. It is particularly striking to note that the rates both on water and wastewater on this list of examples ranges from to go up 4 or 5-fold from the lowest to the highest. And it seems to me that we ought to be looking at maybe some ways in which we can help local communities and incentivize local communities to build up some of their own resources to help do this, because obviously the feds aren't there like they used to be. The state isn't able to do the 15% like we did on ours back in the early 70s as well, Representative Jarvis. And in our community, one of the things we did was we set aside a reserve every year, a certain percentage of our revenue, to help pay for future expansion. And I just offer that feel we ought to think about some incentives that we can help communities, not only by forgiving their not charging a sales tax, but helping them meet this challenge in the future. So I just offer that as a final suggestion.
Yes, that's a good point. Representative Solberg.
Representative Lanning, I think on the federal program, when there is any kind of grant coming into the community, that's one of the requirements as well, to update the plant and also have a reserve built up. So most people that have done that are also in the process already of one of the requirements is to have a reserve account for replacement in the future. As I was the mayor of a small town as you were, when we got the grant or the loan, that was one of the requirements. We had to raise the rates in order to have reserve account. So I think that much of that's being taken care of already.
Thank you for that. Thank you, members. It was a good discussion, and we are adjourned. Thank you.